Turn with me to John chapter 15 and just start up where we were left off a little bit last week. We were talking about, dear God, what have we been praying for? Turn to somebody and say, dear God, what have we been praying for? Well, we really know, affectionately, that means revival. But I don't think that we knew in our asking what we were going to get prior to revival and what the components of making revival come really are. And thank God that Pastor Dave Roberson, my pastor, taught us years ago what is there in the Word of God and brought it out that when we pray in unknown tongue, we're speaking mysteries. These are not mysteries to God, but they're mysteries to us that will soon be revealed. But one of the wonderful things that God ever did in creating a prayer language within us is that He took away our understanding. Otherwise, we probably would not pray the prayers that we pray. If we knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was praying for us and about us, we would have stopped probably a long time ago. Well, if He's taking away things that we don't like, we would have probably continued to pray those prayers. But if He's taking away, if He's purging parts of us that we do like, that He doesn't like, that's the things that we'd probably stop right in the middle of that prayer. If we could interpret all of our prayer and he starts praying about things that we want to keep, praise God, He takes away our understanding. Hallelujah. And I really don't want to know, glory, unless He wants me to know, until I get ready for the place where He brings us to. If we keep praying in tongues, He'll build us up on our most holy faith. Well, that's keeping us in the love of God, but what it does do is it brings us to a place where He's able to ask things of us, and He creates such a place inside of us if we stay at it long enough, because you can't pray in tongues and hold on to the flesh at the same time. Not for long. You can do a little ditty. You know what a ditty is? A ditty is a little skoro bokoro kitele basetiri. Go to sleep. Well, I prayed in tongues yesterday. Yeah, 5 minutes. 5 minutes not going to do it. But you can't live a life given over to prayer and stay where you're at. You're either going to quit, because once He reveals to you what He's asking, you'll say no. And if you say no, you're not going to continue to pray, because that just makes you more miserable. Hallelujah. But if you continue to pray and yield, you'll get happy after a while. Hallelujah. I'll tell you the honest to goodness truth. If I wanted to sin, I would not come to this church. If I counted myself as a Christian and I wanted, I would not come to this church. I wouldn't let no preacher Bronk or preacher Homer beat me every week and every, you know, telling me I got to stop sinning. My God. I'd live a happy Christian life somewhere in my sinful state and wouldn't listen to this every week. It'd be powerless. You might wind up someplace that you don't want to be, but at least, you know, your flesh would be happy. But thank God for John chapter 15, Jesus said this in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Everybody say more fruit. Now I'm going to tell you the root of this whole passage is Jesus was teaching and He was saying there's a covenant change taking place. Everything that has been prophesied from Genesis to Malachi has been prophesying about me, the true vine, and now the true vine is here. But you got to abide in me. You can't go back under after I'm gone. And presently, you cannot go back under the law. You can't go back under animal sacrifice. You can't go back under temple worship. You've got to stay in the vine. Because if you don't stay in the vine, you're going to wither and die. There's no salvation outside of me. You've got to stay in that. And He says here, though, that if every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide not in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. Well, I want that place, don't you? I want to ask what I will, and it be done unto me. Praise God. He says this, backing up in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now here's the deal. This is why I say we haven't always known what we're praying for. We're praying for revival, and we're wanting miracles. And we said last week we want the power, and he says, okay, I'll give you the power. The only thing is I've got to purge you first. And we're like, no, God, we just want the power. And he says, well, I'm going to give you the power, but the purging's got to come. And we say power, and he says purge. We say power, he says purge, because they're all one and the same. They're absolutely one and the same. He gets the root of everything. And last week we brought up, I shared just a little bit of a recent vision that Gary had had, and we shared that on a Friday night. But how many of you were here last week? Most of you were. But if you weren't, just a quick synopsis of or remembrance of what Gary had recently seen or had a dream of, and it was he wrote a little teaching on it. It was called the Blue Landing, or that's what he referred it to, or the Blue Staircase. In that, the Lord showed him a vision, or he had a dream, and there was something in his living room. And it was like a staircase. It was something like this. It was a landing. It was several steps that went up to a landing. And in the dream, he remembers standing in his living room. And as he was looking at this thing, it was taking over his living room. It was inch by inch taking over his living room. And the Lord actually revealed to him, he says, I'm up here. I'm at the top of this thing. Now you can stay down there where you're at and live your life, or you can come up here with me. But the amazing part was this. Gary says he thought in the midst of this dream that he was having, he said, I remember my thoughts, and he kept thinking, you know what, if this thing keeps going, eventually I won't have room for all my friends to come in here. And eventually, it's going to take over everything. There won't be room for my TV set in here. There won't be room for anything. And then after that, you know, he's like, oh my God. You know, where are we going? Where are we going? Well, Jesus said this, if you allow me to purge you and bear fruit, then I'm going to come and I'm going to purge you some more as a result of it. So we haven't always known that the end result prior to revival was going to be some great lessons on, hey, there's still more dying to do. But aren't you glad for the person of the Holy Spirit? Because we're not in this alone. We're not in this alone. Praise God. Now, I said concerning myself that, you know, the last couple of years, and especially I'd say the last 6 months, it has really been different. I've never seen it quite like this. There's been a sensitivity in the spirit. There's been a purging, and I'm speaking firsthand of myself. And then whatever I'm teaching or whatever Homer's teaching to you, it's a process behind the scenes going on in our own life. And I can tell you this, it's like the more that he's been given, the more that he comes and asks for more. And ask the more fruit it seems that bears in my life, the more that the good shepherd comes to the vineyard and says, can I have more? Can I have more? But that's all right, because at the end of all of this, there's going to be some wonderful days in which we're going to say it was all worth the purging process. Absolutely. It was all worth the purging process. You know, Pastor, where have you been purging at? Well, just almost in every area. My words, my responses to people. I said last week, my joking. Hey, Kenny and I could, we haven't, and I'm not preaching against this. I don't want to get into don't do this and don't do that. I don't want to start a church like that where we start mandating you have to walk in a holiness before the Lord according to your new nature. But I'm just going to give you an example of where that purging's gone. Kenny and I haven't gone to movies in months. It's not that the Lord said don't. It's just that it's so hard to go to one anymore. It's just so and the other day we were like, we needed something to do before we had to go do something else. And we said, well, let's go see a movie. Do you know what? I had to really check myself to see if I could go see Paul Blart Mall Cop. Can you imagine? That's just PG. PG, but I had to look inside of myself, because where we're at and where we're going. Because I also knew before we walked in there that even the commercials prior to those kinds of things nowadays. And we just said, you know what, we'll sit out. We'll sit out for a little bit until the actual. And I checked myself and the Lord said, yeah, you can go. And I wasn't convicted the whole time in there. But I can tell you this, this is where the purging process is going. The Lord is coming to us and asking more and more and more. Why? Because he wants something from us. He wants a life of holiness where that we can withstand. Now, the holiness, let me tell you this, the holiness is not going to buy us miracles. There's been a whole lot of miracle revivals without holiness. So it's not like the more holier we get, the more we get paid off with miracles. What holiness will do for us and following the new nature, it will so preserve our wineskin. It'll get us into a place where no matter what the attacks come, and no matter what faces us in the near in the future as a result of us going into revival, we will not stop. Hallelujah. We will not be destroyed, because our wineskin will be strong enough to stand the test. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will tell you this, and as I said this last week, and it's worth reiterating, there's also a counterfeit. Don't let the devil, in the midst of purging, because he'll try to come with something that almost at times feels like Jesus. How many of you know Jesus or God the Father or the Holy Spirit never brings up your past? Can I get an amen? Unless that past, unless there's something there that's never been repented of that you need to get under the blood. But here's another example. I don't know if any of you have been listening to any of Gary's teachings, but I relate to this. In the midst of purging, Satan will also come. He said he got up the other morning, and he said as soon as his feet hit the floor, he felt like a sheep-eating dog. He felt like, my God, all that he could think of was all of his faults and his failures. And he went out there and he started to pray, and he said, I felt so bad. He thought he was under conviction. He thought, like, man, God's really, you know, he was remembering several things, and he thought, you know, this is the purging. He thought, and he didn't say it like that, but he thought, you know, he actually started repenting. And he started, you know, but he thought, I thought all this stuff was behind me. I thought all this stuff was under the blood. And he started repenting, and he said he started crying. And you know what? Even sometimes you think your emotions are God. Listen, you got to judge between the, you got to pray in the spirit, because the enemy will come. He'll be so close to the original sometimes. But let me tell you this, God does not bring up your past. He does not talk to you about things that are under the blood. If you've been living in a place of a guilt-free conscience for years because that stuff was behind you, he's not going to come along at this point in time and start bringing it all up again. That's not God. Judge it. And he was sitting there boohooing and crying and asking God to forgive him. And the Lord said, hey, you know what? The Lord interrupted him right in the middle of him asking forgiveness. And he said, can I talk to my son? Can I talk to the real you? Because what you're giving me right now is just the flesh, in essence. I'm not dealing with that. That's not me coming to you right now. I want to talk to my son, which is the real you, the person on the inside, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If it's behind you, it's behind you. Hallelujah. So there's a counterfeit in all this, so you just got to watch out for that counterfeit, okay? Everybody say amen. Amen. Paul, we brought this up a couple of weeks ago in one of the teachings. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You can turn there. We'll go to several different scriptures. First Corinthians chapter 9. Let me just show you how strong the apostles' doctrine was concerning walking in a place of keeping ourselves. This is what Paul said about himself. In verse 25 of chapter 9, he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, means he keeps himself in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, but as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Now he's not talking about that he went to the gym and he just kept a perfect body. I mean that's okay that you strive to stay in shape, but he says I keep. What he was saying is I'm keeping the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, I'm keeping it in check. I'm keeping under my body and bringing it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, this speaks volumes to me. It speaks volumes to me. If the man that is writing 2/3 of the New Testament says that I live in this kind of godly fear, is that I must continue to stay temperate. I must continue to bring my body under subjection to me my entire life. My entire life. In other words, the lust of the flesh, the things that would eventually try to come up and challenge the spirit. Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it under subjection. Even having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that word castaway means a reprobate. In other words, I don't want to come to the end of my ministry and allow the flesh to beat me out of the reward that God has for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Glory be to God. Are we victors in this thing? Yes, we are. In every way, on the outside and the inside. Now, here's things that will come at you from the outside. Look at verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, or nay, in all these things we are more. Everybody say more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So there's no plan, there's no diabolical plan of the enemy against you that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, as long as you abide in the vine, as long as you stay in that place. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, or no, chapter 1. Do we believe in eternal security around here? Well, no and yes. Do we believe that you can get born again, live your life however you want to? We'll talk about the extremes, fornication, adultery, all those kinds of things. Just live it up for, you know, however you want to and still go to heaven. No, we don't believe that. But we do, I do believe sincerely in eternal security according to the Word of God. Now, what is that? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at it with me. We just might as well start in the verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby, or as a result, or as He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be a partaker of the divine nature. How many of you are born again in here this evening? You've got a divine nature inside of you. And He says, through the promises of God, you can become a partaker of the divine nature. And it's amazing. You have a divine nature inside of you, but here He's saying you need to be a partaker of it. In other words, a meal can be put in front of you, your favorite foods, everything that you could enjoy, and you could just sit there and look at it and admire it. But once you put it on your plate, and once you put it in your mouth, and once it goes down your tummy, into your, and when it's yummy to your tummy, you begin to be a partaker of it. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of everything that you are. Even though it's there, now we've been born again, we have a divine nature, but He says here, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, that's not just talking about like, it's not, okay, there's the mountain-moving faith, like I'm believing for this. He's talking about your actual walk with God, your faith towards God. Add to this walk that you're in, add to it virtue. Now, virtue, if you look it up, it is it's an amazing word. It just means manly, or it could mean character. Add to your faith character. Walk in the character of God. To virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance means restraint, walking in a godly restraint, or being temperate in things. And to temperance, patience. Patience means just long-suffering. Stay in there. Stay in there. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Just, it's amazing how He even separated brotherly kindness from the next one, which was charity, which was the agape of God. Just be kind to one another. Just absolutely walk in a kindness and a loving kindness to each other, besides for just the full agape of God. For if these things be in you, well, they're in there by the virtue of the new nature, but if you're not a partaker of them, look what He says here. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, do means habitually, do these things. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Hallelujah. Do we believe in eternal security? Absolutely. Can a person be saved and always stay saved? Yes, they can, and they should. But this is the prescription here. He's saying if you'll do patience, if you'll do temperance, if you'll do godliness, if you'll do charity, if you'll do all these things and walk in these things, you will never fall. There'll never be a chance of you ever falling. absolute eternal security. This is a word that gives us hope always to say, am I going to make it? Yes, you will. What do I got to do, Pastor? Just do these things. Just walk in these things. Now, sometimes that's a lot easier said than done, but thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the new nature. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. If we'd have known what we've been praying for all these years, God, give us revival. God, give us power. I want a little kids. I cry all the time. God, get little kids out of wheelchairs. And God says, good. Okay, I'm glad you're asking me for the power. I'm going to do a purging in your life. And I'm like, no, God, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for power. And he says, no purging. Hallelujah. You know, God has the recipe. We don't always understand the recipe, but he has a recipe to get us there. Glory be to God. Now, Brother Homer, he's sitting in the back. I've watched his life over the last year or so. God's got him in a recipe. He's got a small impairment right now that really, I'm serious, it's just an impairment. But he knows the best for him would be God to just instantaneously do what he's asking God to do. But I'm using him example. He won't mind, I don't think. He'll correct me afterwards if he does. But here's the recipe. If he can't, he knows this, if he can't get it, you know, instantaneously on a prayer line, he knows how to go into God. Well, I'm watching his life, and I'm saying, my God, there's the perfect recipe going on, because I've watched God begin to purge him, and all he's been able to do over the last several months is cry and talk about love. Well, what's going into his recipe? The love of God. Well, what does the love of God do for you? The love of God casts out all fear. There's no fear in that man that he's not going to, you know, get the fullness of what he's asking God for. Plus, the Word says, faith worketh by love. That's why most Christians don't get what they're asking God for, is because they're not walking in love. Well, when you start asking God, or when you're believing God for something, he goes to the ground, the base place of what he needs to do to put that recipe together. We're saying, we need revival. We need revival. God says, good. What you need is purging. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to purge you. I watched another thing working in Homer's life. Endurance. Endurance. God's put that man on a path of endurance. This is another thing he's done for the church. He's taught us that if we're going to get to where we're going, we have to have endurance. I appreciate every one of you. Praise God for your endurance. You haven't left as of yet. Don't leave now. Hallelujah. We're getting close to revival. Praise God. Praise God. Jude 24, the first chapter of Jude. In verse 24 says this: Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with what? Exceeding joy. Do you know what? We're talking about purging a lot, and our flesh doesn't like it, but there really does come a place in him that if you begin to yield, it should be a place of exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able if we do these things, but we shouldn't live our life in a miserable state knowing that there is going to be a place of continual purging. After a while, it should become a place of great joy to us. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't get too many amens out of that, but it's the truth. Hebrews chapter 5. Glory be to God. It's thundering out there. God's telling us everything I'm saying is true. Verse 5, or chapter 4, 5, verse 14 says this: But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, there's a lot of the body of Christ who's not discerning good and evil. Not discerning. They're just, they're caught up in the flesh. And they don't know, you know, because of what they're being taught. that most of their life is being consumed by the flesh. And so as a result of it, there's not much discerning going on in their life. But the Word says here, strong meat, in other words, what God can get over to you, belongs to them that are of full age. Well, how does He get it over to you? He gets it over to you by reason of use. What kind of use? Those who have exercised their senses. Now, He's not talking about our spiritual senses here. He's talking about your fivefold, or your all your senses, everything involved with your flesh, all of your emotions, everything, that you begin to walk a life where you're absolutely, it's the same thing. The word exercise here means just it's the word gymnazo, which means gymnasium, where you actually work out. And what He's saying here, when you begin to work out, or you begin to repel from your flesh and begin to repel from your senses, and you don't allow your senses to rule you, then God can get over to you the understanding between good and evil. He can begin to show you the purging process. He can begin to show you what He's really trying to accomplish in the church and in your own personal life. And as a result of it, strong meat. Praise God. Strong meat going into revival. Now, chapter 12, we're in the book of Hebrews here. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Notice this. And the sin. The word weight means to be bent over. He distinguished this from sin. I mean, it wasn't even necessarily something that was going against any of the Ten Commandments. But there are things at times where the Holy Spirit will come and say, look, that per se is not a sin. I mean, it's not a sin to watch football. At least it's not a sin for me to watch football at the present. But if I spend all day, like 10 hours, then that can become an idol to me, because I didn't need to spend 10 hours. If I had 10 hours to spend, I could have spent some of that praying in tongues and worshiping God and meditating the Word. I didn't need to spend 10 hours. Well, that in itself, you can't find, you know, watching football as a sin, as one of the Ten Commandments. That's not a sin per se in that area, but if it becomes a weight and it becomes an idol, a 1 John idol, then it is a sin. It is something of rebellion. It is something that it becomes from a weight to a sin in your life, where it can begin to separate you from what God wants to do in your life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. That means just give up. Just get to the place where you decide to give up. For you've not resisted. He was admonishing these Hebrews, these Jews. You've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Now, these, just a little background. He's writing to Jews, Hebrews, that were under a great persecution, and they were under a threat of going back because they were being so maligned, so mistreated for being Christians. It was just going to be easier for them to say, okay, I throw in the towel, I'll go back to temple worship. I'll deny Jesus, and if you're going to excommunicate me from the community, you're not going to buy my products, I can't go to school anymore, nobody will, you know, talk to me in the community. And later on, as time went on, many Jews were being physically persecuted, but a lot of different things were happening to them, and they were really tempted to go back. And the Lord was chastening them to look, you can't go back. The word chastening here means child training. It means to lovingly chasten a child and to bring them up and to teach them something. It says here, for whom, verse 7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son in whom he receiveth. Does that sound like what Jesus said? If you bear fruit, he's going to come and purge you that you may bear more fruit. In other words, we become his children. If he loves us, he's going to come and correct us. Verse 7, for if we endure chastening, God dealeth with us, or dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he in whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, he's the father of your spirit. So where does the chastening come to? Where? It doesn't come to your body. He doesn't put sickness on you. He just comes to your spirit. In other words, if he's going to chasten you for something in your life, that, you know, I mean, you're stretching the truth. We call it another word, but stretching the truth. I mean, you tell something and you know it's not really exactly like that, but you got to embellish it. You got to tell it for something bigger than what it is. Well, he's going to chasten you. Well, how does chastening feel? It means he takes you to the woodshed. It means that you'll walk around until you say, okay, forgive me, and I'm going to do my best not to do that anymore. You're going to have something going off on the inside. Don't do that. You don't do that no more. You knew you were stretching it last time. Stop it. And you'll be miserable on the inside until you say, okay, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm not going to do that no more. And the best way to stop that, and I've done it a few times to myself, okay, I'm going to tell him. And the best way to stop that is if you're right in the middle of something and you say it and you realize it wasn't exactly like you thought it was, or maybe you embellished it a little bit, stop and right then say, no, that's not exactly how it was. This is exactly how it was. If you'll bring a little bit of embarrassment to yourself, you'll stop that stuff before long. You'll stop it. But nevertheless, he takes you to the woodshed, and that woodshed is that inner conviction, like, oh, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I can't. And, you know, if you just say, oh, I'm not going to think about it, it won't go away. You know, you can make it go away for a little bit, but it doesn't go away. That's the chastening of the Lord. Praise God for it. He says in verse 8, but if ye be without chastening, whereof are you all partakers? And we're all a partaker of this chastening. If we're sons, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more, or rather, be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they truly, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, I don't know how many of you ever got a spanking from your dad or your mom or a correction. Well, I'm here to tell you that I did. But he's saying this is far, far better for you and far more kind and far more considerate from the Father of spirits, for they did it for their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Hallelujah. Sometimes it doesn't feel like for our profit that he's coming, but hallelujah, it is for our profit. It's for our betterment. He wants us to live happier. He wants us to have more joy, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Wow, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Man, when you're under conviction and there's something in your life that he's wanting to change, it's a weight or a sin which so easily besets you. And let's say, you know what? You may have done it for years. And it may have been acceptable for a long time. It may have been acceptable. In other words, you really didn't feel that much conviction in it. But it's like Pastor Dave says, it's acceptable, it's perfect, as long as it's in a place of acceptability, but when it drops down, in other words, when you become more accountable, I'm not saying it exactly like he said it, but I'm trying to remember, but when it drops down into a place where then the Holy Spirit says, okay, you're supposed to grow up here now. You're supposed to grow up, and you choose not to grow up, and you feel the conviction, and you feel the strength, the chastening of the Lord. Come on up higher. if you continue to do that past then you're walking in, that's when you're walking in sin. It might have been acceptable. You could have, your conscience, you say, well, I used to do that all the time. I used to do that all the time and it never convicted me. That's because you weren't walking where you're walking now. But the more you pray in tongues and the more he comes to you and the more he purges you, then you're growing up. You're growing up. You're becoming a son or a daughter that's growing up. After a while, certain things won't be acceptable anymore. And when they're not acceptable anymore, and if you try to do them, then you're going to get that, you know, that spanking. And you might think, well, I've been doing that for the last 10 years. Well, you might have, but you're growing up, and it's no longer acceptable anymore. Hallelujah. Did that make sense at all? I hope it did. Praise God. It's just like me. It's just like I still got a sense of humor, but I've found out even in the last year, some of the joking and stuff, I had to watch. You know, I never was off color, I don't believe. But at the same time, you just, there's a purging process going on in all of our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says this, the peaceable, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Hallelujah. How many of you want the peaceable fruit of righteousness? Thank God we can walk in a peaceable fruit. But it's unto them that are exercised thereby. In other words, you got to yield to it. You're either going to be one place or the other. You're either going to yield to it and say, okay, Lord, show me what you want. And thank God he doesn't do it all at one time. Hallelujah. He's real kind. He'll just kind of deal with one thing at a time. If he dealt with everything in our life at a time, we'd be a mess. Thank God he gives us time. He's very patient. He deals with us. Hallelujah. But he says it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. In other words, and then he says in verse 12, wherefore, as a result of getting exercised by it, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, in this purging process, you got one or two choices. You can just allow it to whip you and you can be defeated and say, man, I can't believe that he's asking more of me. And I used to be able to do that 10 years ago and I was always a Christian and always going to heaven. And yep, you sure were, but now the purging process. Well, you can allow that purging to weight you down because you're not willing to go with it, or else you can do this. He says you can lift up holy hands, or you can lift up hands and say, okay, Lord, I yield to it. I yield to it. And you know what you're doing then? You're yielding to the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You're saying, okay, God, just go ahead and do what you want me to do, or what you want to do inside of me. And when you start yielding to it, guess what? It starts producing peaceable fruit. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says this, and make, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lamed be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. In other words, this is a picture of somebody trying to run a race on lame legs. A crippled legs. He says, make a straight path for yourself. You're not going to be able to run this race unless you yield to this healing, unless you yield to this purging process. But the way that you do it is, go ahead and yield over to it. Go ahead and let the Lord begin to purge you. As a result of it, and I love the way that he says it here, rather let it be healed. Whatever inside of us that needs to be changed, to be healed, there's a purging going on, but we've got a loving Father that's with us and is going to take us to the next level. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord? How many of you love me? How many of you love Homer? Hallelujah. All right, let's just lift our hands and bless the Lord for just a moment. Father, we give you all the praise. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Father, we give you all the praise. Lord, take us into this place of your purging, your washings. Take us in, but Lord, let us lift up hands that hang down, that we won't be defeated within ourselves because of what you're asking, but rather we'll lean into it, we'll run towards it. We'll say, Lord, complete your task in us, that it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Lord, we commit ourselves unto you, and we commit this body in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this evening. Praise the Lord.